second reading.
That is legible. Now you're maybe asking too much.
I mean, the other one, you couldn't, it wasn't high, you couldn't see.
I agree with you. It was really poor.
That came out all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
This one's okay?
I did have to get a magnifying glass.
Yeah, I might need a magnifying glass.
Well, the, yeah, those little box things are hard to.
Yeah, but at least I could read, I could read it.
Whose is this?
That's the boss.
Oh, okay, I'll give that back.
I played with one a little bit.
All right, copy for you of that. Of the subdivision regs. Do you want me to go and attempt it right now so that you have it for tonight?
I can't remember which.
We're gonna go with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, maybe I should.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if you brought the one that had, he had the.
And I don't see any, do we have any mail?
From that application packet, he had,
Could you ask Deb when she's free, when she needs a copy of the zoning regulations as well?
It had the reimbursement.
Because you could get a picture and the address on the same line, right, and that's the part you're having trouble with?
No, I just wanted to bring the whole, yeah, I wanted to bring everything but this. Oh, I might just, delete this.
And paste it on over.
And then move everything up.
Can you bring it to the back? Can you send it to the back?
Yeah, I've got it.
So it's an image, right?
Is this a cleaned up version?
I copied and pasted it from our Fairhaven website.
Yeah, so it's an alignment issue, right? You need to work with how you're aligning it all.
Yeah, it's just a little more.
So if you, or you can send the picture to the back, you could shift the wording up.
Oh, sorry, this is your.
Plus it's got copy all over.
I'm using Microsoft 365.
Yeah, so I think you can right click.
It was the reinvestment agreement.
It's either there up on the top bar, I'm trying to picture it, not doing very well.
I've been retired now.
And that shouldn't be hard.
And it looks like he already took the passes.
Do you know when he sent that?
I think that would help you get those two things on the same line.
It's so different. You know, word, everything is so different than when.
See if I can find it.
That's okay.
I would guess.
Because I get you, you just kind of want it all up a little bit.
Right.
I just want to push it up.
Like I took.
Actually, that's a better copy than the one I had. Does that one have the Joe signature?
Well, it has a space for it, yeah.
Yeah. And he was gonna.
Yeah, see, this is, I didn't move it up a little bit, but I need to move it up.
All right.
Colorized order.
It's really
mandatory. We're gonna call this meeting to order. We'll do the approval of the minutes first. Anybody be so kind as to entertain that motion?
I will entertain a motion to accept the meeting minutes of March 5th.
Second?
Second.
Why, thank you. Additions, deletions, and corrections. I had one, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it.
Yeah, see, this is the thing that was. Phil said that it ended March 2025, but then you sent me an email.
Yeah, you know what? I just had.
We just reappointed.
Linda?
Linda. You just got reappointed for another 3-year term.
3 years?
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure it's 3-year term.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah, then we did that
last night.
Last
well,
night.
You guys cleaned through. We've been
a little busy.
We're busy, yes.
We did it last night. Yeah, we did a lot of appointments.
And are you the new chair?
I am, as I told everyone, and I'm hoping to make it through the first couple of months without getting impeached.
I don't know what you should say. Congratulations are in order.
It's still up for discussion, but the greatest thing about last night, and I won't get it off, is Duncan came in, our pet mayor, and Reese did a great job of swearing in. And
now, where is Duncan from?
From
there's
Canada,
no residency requirement here.
He's from Fairhaven, but
do you know who his owner is?
I was too busy saying, so Duncan, is that because you like Dunkin' Donuts? I thought it was being funny. And they go, yes, that's
yes, yeah. I know a golden named Duncan.
He's a golden retriever, very well mannered.
Oh, he's good. The one that I know is wonderful. It's Krista Halls.
I bet it is.
Anybody got any deletions or corrections? Because I can't find the one I was looking for.
No.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I don't know why I rushed through that, because we're going to wait for Phil to get those two copies in. You know what we can do is go over the email that Linda drafted. You got a copy of that in front of you?
I do.
You should.
Oh, yes, yes.
Complete with the town logo and everything.
Excellent.
Ooh, very official.
Yeah,
I was so proud that I remembered all that stuff.
I don't know if she has copyrights to that yet. But anyways, it's pretty clear and
basic,
and then what it does is it's another check off on the downtown designation. So thank you, Linda. Does anybody see anything that jumps out at them?
Just looking at over here. Mm-hmm. Actually, yes.
What?
It's a punctuation thing. Okay. In the big paragraph.
Wait.
After what you said, the Regional Development Corporation for the town of Fairhaven, that should be a semicolon.
Oh.
And then after therefore should be a comma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Semicolon after Regional Planning Commission?
No.
Afterwards.
Afterwards is the region. Sorry.
Town of Fairhaven. The semicolon.
Second to the last line.
And then therefore, comma.
Yes.
Therefore, comma.
Got it.
Comma. I got the comma first.
Hey. She's an editor. Whatever she says goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I taught writing for like 15 years.
Yeah. I could call the grammar Nazi my brother and see what he has to say.
My sister is the grammar Nazi. It is horrible. If I just happen to end a sentence upspeak, she hates upspeak. And she'll say, "Are you asking me?" Like I'll say, you know, I have to go to the town meeting tonight, and if I go up, she'll say, "Are you asking me?"
That is a California thing that has seeped into the entire country.
I don't even. I mean, I hardly ever do it.
You know, I don't think you're right about that.
Nothing personal, but it just drives me nuts.
I grew up in California, but I don't really talk like that. Not anymore.
I know.
But when I was in high school, I totally did.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Yes.
And with the punctuation change,
I will fix that, and I'm going to move it up.
Make it more. I don't think we don't have to have a motion for that. We're good. Yep. Consensus of the committee.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? We can do too. We can do the reorganization until Phil gets it. We don't need Phil for that.
All right. Oh, annual organizational meeting. I see that in a minute.
So okay. Even though I'm not supposed to be running this part of the meeting, I will. And so.
So what do we have?
We have to appoint a new or nominate a new chairman and a new secretary. Not necessarily new, but.
Okay. So how do I do? So how do I do that?
I would like to nominate Bob Richards to be our chair.
And I second that.
Okay.
Any other nominations?
I'll take all those in favor.
Aye.
Now you can take over the meeting.
Now we need a secretary as well.
I know, I'm getting really good at it.
Definitely would like to nominate Linda Sankowicz to be the
She's so busy and she's on so many other things going on. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to, now that I can know how to cut and paste.
All those in favor, I second it.
You can vote for yourself.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, I'll nominate.
Okay, so that's done.
GOP.
And like I said in the email, we will work until 8:30 or to when we get to a stopping point, but no later than that. We'll be cross-eyed by then.
Yeah,
it's 14 pages of very dry rules. And after,
now, what exactly is this?
This will be an addition to our regular zoning regs, and we'll specifically meet the
so these
the
are gonna...
subdivision requirement of the downtown designation. They want you to have subdivision rules.
Okay, so this is the
I think they needed subdivision regulations are part of, and you have to have them to get take advantage of the downtown right. designation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know,
50 and all of that, and we never really had any. And
the bottom line.
So this is going to be this is going to be
added to the zoning
part
bylaws.
Of the yeah. zoning by zoning right. regs. Okay,
it'll be its own. Sections.
Like, you're doing a lot.
Okay, I didn't realize it was this big.
I can't remember when you came along. Was it after we finished the zoning bylaws, or it was like near the tail end of it? Or?
It was right at the tail end. Right at the tail end.
So in the zoning bylaws, there are some appendices. So this would be a new appendix.
Okay.
And the thing about it is it will make it so much easier for somebody, a developer that comes in, has just got to walk through this. And dance the dance, and for us, it's a matter of making a few choices. What is a major? What is a minor subdivision?
So, I wasn't here when this was being talked about. So I just wanted to ask, like this is a document that Logan provided.
Logan,
it's a
pared down version of. Various other subdivision rules. I think Colchester, one of the towns up in Chittenden County, has an 80-85 page subdivision rule, and other people have less than that. And he got it down to 14 pages, which is a masterful stroke of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from what, because he showed us a couple of those 80 page jobbers. You know, it's just way too much. Way too much, you know. And a lot of, go ahead.
Well, I had a question about reorganization. I'm backing you guys up. Do you want a vice chair? Do you want to nominate a vice chair?
Oh,
I mean,
you know
you
what?
You have to have somebody in case Bob is out.
But yeah. Is Jason still on the board?
Jason, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Right, you have one person, and that's it. Because you're still down one, are you, on the commissions?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're down one, and we might be down two.
Jason said he wanted to stay on.
Oh, he did say.
Yeah, we appointed Jason. So you can elect him.
Sure,
he is the current vice chair.
That's right. So let's elect Jason the vice chair.
Are
you okay? Teach him a lesson for not being here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I make a motion to.
Hold on a second. But just a thought. Because he's absent so much, the whole point of having a vice chair is to have somebody who can run the meeting in the absence of the chair. So that I'm just going to say that's maybe not such a great idea. I don't mind in the...
I nominate Deb.
I'll second that.
Because this is your form.
Yeah, I know. All those in favor?
Aye.
Of course, if I'm not here, you can't have a meeting anyway.
That's true.
We just need to find somebody who wants to, like, instead of bitching about the town, join the planning commission.
I wanted to tell you about I did campaign to Laura. I even explained to her a little bit of what we're doing with downtown designation, all that a little more, because she was curious about it after the PDC meeting. And then, but basically she says, I got enough on my plate. No, maybe something.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't really require a lot of...
Are you going to advertise that position?
Well, it's just the idea that she doesn't want to be on the planning commission right now.
My thought, because I don't want to take a lot of air time on your meeting, is... I understand that if someone stops in and sees Rick Wilson at the barbershop, Rick has been, he's got off the school board and everything, he's looking to get more involved, and he mentioned Historical Society, but
really?
I think Rick Wilson, as a member of the Planning Commission, as being a business owner and everything,
that'd be great.
I think if someone were to reach out and say, Rick, we like you, we need you. There's a very good chance that, and you can tell them, and I, I think when him and Snowplow Frank were taking the Reese down, I caught him at the tail end and visiting with him. But I know he's saying, how can I help? And here's where I think the knowledge he might.
I mean, family been here forever and ever.
Bringing for you, it might be someone. Yeah.
Do you know Pam, the lady barber that works in his barber shop in the mornings? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Pam she's a server over at Ruby's a few days a week. Like, she's like, we would be lost without her. But anyway, Rick has come in a few times to, you know, visit her and stuff, and we've talked a little bit, but he's such a nice guy.
He's
and
so
he seems
very
like
thoughtful, very, very calm, very thoughtful. I was just thinking, if we're out there, you might.
Yeah, I've been struggling to find.
The other person I was twisting their arm because he is Rose Van Loo, because she's on the Zoning Board of Adjustment, and I'm saying, well, Rose, if you go to a lot of the meetings and everything here, if you've got free time, there's places where we need people.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm the Rick Wilson one would be my.
Yeah.
I'll go check him out tomorrow. I'll play it right on. He would be good. Mm-hmm. He would be really good. He would be.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So.
Let's get moving.
He's having trouble finding it, I know.
And on the subdivision, can I?
Sure.
Because I've read it pretty well, went through and played around, and Joe played around, and that's what you get for having snowy days and freezing time on your hands. But it looked like the bigger thing, there are multiple comments, but probably the bigger questions you're going to answer is, there's some decision making as well as what Bob talked about as to what you empower Phil to make for a decision. My advice to you, as much as you can. It gets made and it doesn't.
Yeah, and that's.
So you're going to see comments in there about, should Phil do this? How does Phil feel about this? It's really empowering that, and I agree with you, that what is medium. They gave different levels of what the subdivision are.
Yeah.
I thought the example got more specific than even I'd want to be. If you could generic that down a little bit more.
That's the one that was like four.
And keep them low enough. See, the higher you make them, you take them out of Bill's hands. They automatically come to you as a planning commission, if I read it correctly. So I'm just, if those were the rest of them were just, hey, Logan had some great ideas. And then he even came back with statements to both Joe and I about, well, how about this right here? And we said,
Logan is so knowledgeable. It's amazing.
He's going to be helpful for us. I looked at the material he's drafted on the Heartland stuff for the downtown degradation. And he's already, when he's plugged in the Fairhaven and everything, on the location.
He's done a lot of work.
Plug and play.
This isn't his first big job for a kid.
But he is young.
He knows his.
I hate to say this, but I was just looking at this copy that I have, and you can't read the comments at all.
The next one, the one you're going to get now, if he can find it on the email, I should actually have. You probably would have known better than me. But. It's a little better to read. I mean,
unfortunately, Logan deals in the world of that. He'd have that screen on and a laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you get to the comment, and I squint with my glasses even to read, you push on it and it blows the whole counter right up. Normal people can read.
I'm going to try, and that's what I'm going to try and do, is download it to my computer, and then if I can expand it and read the comments.
Because you can hold your mouse over a section and the comments will come up on the section. You don't even have to go on the other side.
You found it?
Downtown
district. I found it. Of course, the copier runs out of paper.
Of course it did. Oh, great. Perfect. Perfect.
I worked on two different copiers, so I tried to be efficient here.
Well, thank you very much.
Do you have a copy of these?
Not a nice clean one.
Okay, that one was printed off the lister, so it should be
very good. Thank you.
And it's in color.
You need a copy of the zoning regs as well, correct?
I do.
There you go.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, I've got my old one.
As long as we have a guest here, I'd be interested if you had anything overall you wanted to say about the zoning regs. Are you worried about having this specific zoning reg?
Putting this one in?
Yeah.
Oh no, I think it's, the only reason Joe and I jumped in and started putting things, and there's a whole lot of, what does Phil feel? We were talking about you, how does Phil feel about this here, and who do you want to make the decision on that and everything? But I think there's, Logan did an excellent job of putting that together, putting things down there, and it was really, like I said, most of it were just little pieces of input. They weren't major. I think he's close.
What I think we should just do is go down the list. And now it's going to be difficult for you guys because you haven't read it to begin with, right?
Yeah, I haven't read the comments.
All the comments. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
you read the zoning regs.
Yeah. But
do you have any overall thoughts?
Well, I highlighted different things I wasn't sure of in reading over the suggested subdivision regs. So I went page by page.
Okay, and we'll go page by page with your comments. And if that's all right.
If you want to, sure, sure.
You know, what I think we should do is do as much as we can tonight, schedule another one, and do is finish it off. I really would like to get it to the point where we're all comfortable with what it says, and so we can talk about it.
That's legible. You should be able to read that.
Whose comments are these?
Glenn Travers is GT.
Oh, okay.
And Logan
is LS.
Joe should be.
Oh, okay.
So if we have any comments, we need to add them tonight. Or get them answered satisfactorily as we go. I think it's the only way to do it.
And Joe and my comments are more, there's no heels dug in or anything else. Right. It's just wherever we decide, we just looked at it and said,
this is a question you need to
just a question, do it.
And in a lot of cases, Logan answered the questions.
He did. He would come back and say, it's this.
Yeah. So.
Or you might want to.
Right. And it'll come to us to make a decision as to which way we want to go. What is,
and then whatever we decide here, we'll have to finalize a final version, and then that will get warm.
We'll present that as a public hearing.
We have a public hearing here, and then...
Then we present it to the select board.
Okay.
They have to have...
Same process as before.
Same as we did the zoning.
Yeah.
It's really the timing. Once you get it done, because there's a lot of time chewed up in the...
Yeah, with the
different information meetings and everything.
Which is the reason to get it done quickly.
Sooner rather than later.
And then beat up the summer with public hearings.
But we'll give you whatever.
And be ready by first of... Yeah. No later than August, but the 1st of September is the time we will actually formally apply.
So the historic district part we'll put it together. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's for the interest of, I take it, because you probably could do this separately, but
yeah.
Why would you do twice as many meetings if you don't
exactly.
have to?
And that made, as soon as you said that, great.
So this is the last change that would have to be made
the last change, yes, in zoning.
Okay.
Or zoning to get to the downtown designation application.
Right.
So. But just to clarify, with your public hearings, if you get other public input,
you may come back and tweak it, just like your regular zoning plan that you did. You tweak it as you go based on your but it gets you a lot closer. Yeah.
I just hope people understand that the reason for this with more regulations for Fairhaven is both to alleviate Act 250 and to hopefully get the state downtown designation.
Right.
And it's not just putting some more onerous things on landowners for a fickle reason, you know?
No, and to me, if I was a developer, and I saw 14 pages of regulations.
You could jump it up and down, wouldn't you?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I
well,
think
these are really minimalist.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of them are generic. A lot of them are just simple things. You got to look and see where you're at. And then just go step by step, and you get to decide whether you're a major or a minor.
But I agree. People, if they don't know the background, have them following the tier one, tier two, and the news on this action, would go, here we go again. More obstacles.
Yeah, more hoops.
And we're saying, no, this is to help you.
Right.
So let's just, I'm not sure, I'm kind of a little bit, I was hoping everybody had a chance to go through everything. But let's just start with section one, and there are a couple of questions there. I think the purpose of the bylaws is to guide settlement patterns and conformance, and somebody said something about that. Must conform with the bylaws.
Puppy?
I think so. A lot of this he's just explaining.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Are you reading the comments?
Yeah.
Just so I can follow along. I didn't know what you're doing.
Yeah, okay. Actually, if you want to come up here, because you're going to be involved in this as much as anybody. Exemptions, which is, I think, fairly critical. These regulations apply to any subdivision except for the following. The boundary line or lot line adjustment, where no new lot is created and under 10 acres of land is transferred from one parcel to the adjoining parcel, 10 acres or over shall be construed as a minor subdivision. I'm confused. By
well, I highlighted the 10 acres because I was confused by...
It seems like that should be over, should mean major.
Yeah. I think, wasn't it like 4 acres is minor and...
Well, anything under 10.
Anything under 10, yeah.
No, but I think that's reading right. In other words, if someone is going to be making an adjustment that is under 10 acres, that sounds correct to me. I just didn't know where the 10 acres came from.
Yeah, I think the 10 acres is arbitrary.
Okay.
Well, yeah, the 10 acres... in there and they were looking to see... Whatever he was looking at had the 10 acres. Right. If we've got something in ours that says it's different, put ours in. They just didn't know what it was.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I think that makes sense to me.
So, what's confusing me is that it says under 10 acres.
Well, no, it's saying these
and
regulations...
And then 10 acres are
listen,
old.
Hold on,
listen,
hold on.
It says these regulations apply to any subdivision except any of the following. So, a boundary or a lot line adjustment where no new lot is created and... under 10 acres of land is transferred from one parcel to the adjoining parcel. Then 10 acres over is under this.
Yeah. 10 acres should be construed as a minor subdivision. That's not true.
It says a boundary or lot line adjustment. So I think you should key in on that. So we're talking about someone wanting to adjust a boundary or lot line and not creating a new lot, right?
Right.
And under 10 acres is transferred from one parcel to the adjoining.
So that
would be exempt.
Yeah.
If that was the case. And 10 acres or over shall be construed as a minor subdivision regulated under this appendix. So if they did...
That's what confuses me.
So they're saying if it's less than 10 acres and it's not creating a new lot, then this regulation doesn't apply.
Right.
If it's more than 10 acres, it applies. It's a minor.
That's the thing that's
a minor subdivision.
Confusing because we had come to the conclusion that a minor would be anything under 10 acres.
If it's under 10 acres, this doesn't apply to it at all. It's an exemption. Right.
And I think the reason they wanted to call over a minor is, the definition, the difference between minor and major, you make the decision, Phil makes
right,
the decision.
Exactly.
We wanted Phil, how it was put together is over 10 acres, Phil still is a minor. The whole point you're supposed to take is a minor, and Phil can say yes or no.
So someone
if you
could...
as a commission decide, no, you want to make that decision, well then you... so you would do less.
Yeah, I finally see that now.
So was trying to put as much where you didn't call it major, where you had to get together as a group and try to figure it out, and try to put as much as you were comfortable in the hands of
the zoning administrator.
Yeah. I think that was the intent when they put
the,
it.
Right. The question is, how do we get impartiality on that? So it's going to be the Planning Commission's duty to declare what is major and what is minor.
That is correct.
And
is that correct, though? I mean, if an application comes in, do I look at it and say,
if it's a
under
minor,
the regs, I can administratively act on?
That's what I'm wondering.
If it's a minor.
See, it says here, and that's, I think, the intent of how he wrote it when we chatted back and forth, was just saying, try to make it so, here are the rules. If they're following the rules, the decision can be made, and because the whole idea also was to simplify, but also move the process faster.
Right.
And that would streamline.
Yeah, and most of what you see in town are lot line adjustments, or just someone subdividing for a family member, you know, to create a lot. I mean, that's what I've seen in my tenure in the job. If some big subdivision proposal comes up, I'm glad to have it considered a major and be looked at in more detail. I mean, I understand I have to try and pin them down on what's required, make sure they understand and they have a complete application when it comes to you. But, you know, I want to make sure that if it is something big, that it will go on to the body to...
The example of... I always like to use a real example. Green Mountain Mobile Manor. If that ends up getting bought by someone, it's 11 acres, not 10 acres of land. It's roughly 11 acres. And the developer wants to put multiple mini homes all over. Maybe over 10 acres.
But they want to subdivide, correct?
Right. Well, they want to break them down to little...
Right.
Little individual lots.
Yeah.
And I think I've read it a bunch of times and it's finally clear. If you read the bullet points 1 through 4, that makes it more clear. It involves or if subdivided results in 4 or fewer lots, minor. Does not involve construction, establishment, installation, or extension of any public or private road, which is a big deal. That's a big deal for the town. Does not involve the establishment of serving 2 or more lots or any public improvement.
I had that highlighted, but I understand it now after looking at it closer, that you're talking again.
And then the last one makes sense too. So that makes it a lot clearer. So that gives us the impartiality I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's, I didn't understand that until just now. And the comments, I'll question that in different ways.
Right.
And I think if I had paid closer attention to what Logan was saying, I would have, and I got really confused by subdivision, minor, major, and, all right, so, one thing I should say too, until the minute we get a final copy for our public hearing, if anything comes up that strikes you that you really, you know, are willing to fall on your sword over, we will bring it up. So whatever we come up, we're not like tonight, we're already on page 3. We can go back to page 2 anytime we want.
Right, it's your first pass, really, looking at
right.
that.
So we're going to...
It's your first pass, yeah.
And I, if you're anything like me, I've read these things, probably this is the 3rd or 4th time I've gone through them, and that's the first time I understood that whole process. So,
It takes the time to digest it sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're on page 3. If everybody, there's only 14 pages.
I had a question about waiver there, D.
Yeah.
1D. Is someone able to request a waiver for any part of the subdivision regulations? Am I understanding that right?
That's what I got, and there's a comment from from Glenn about should we be mentioning waivers this early in the process.
Well, right, and I'm going, wait, you're just applying, why are you even considering a waiver? It would be my first one when I looked at that, but that was...
That's on page three, section three.
Oh, here, okay, sorry.
Yep. I said, I'm all for making it fast and speedy, but I was waiting to hear you weigh in on that, Phil, to say, boy, are we putting the cart before the horse here on this one?
I just am not clear on what it is, in fact, that anything can be requested for a waiver under these regs.
Yeah.
Well, let's hold that one, because...
Should we question Logan?
Yeah, and I think that he didn't really...
Answer that question.
And I think it's worth asking again.
So this would be a waiver of the application.
The actual requirements. Not asking for a waiver of fees, asking for a waiver from something in the subdivision requirements.
Yeah, so if I were in your shoes, Phil, I'd be asking that too. Right?
It may make sense to have some sort of verbiage at the end that says all that. And there is something in the back pages that talks about appeals and waivers and things, and that may be the place to put it in.
Well, that I just had a question mark about.
I'm sticking my nose in, and I'm just asking this because the comment says to look at the next section for information on waivers.
Uh-huh.
And it says that they can waive one thing.
Oh, does it? It
the Planning Commission shall waive one or more application requirement or standards if the Planning Commission determines that it is not requisite in the interest of public health,
safety, or general
welfare.
Logan was trying to justify talking about waivers early. By doing that, I don't know if you just muddied the water.
I don't know that you know, are we gonna die on the hill of one waiver only, when two waivers or three waivers may be worth the project.
Oh, there it is.
You know, I wouldn't. Well, one waiver. I get the idea that you don't want to be too loosey-goosey about what you're doing, but...
Well, otherwise someone would be going to the zoning board for a variance if they you know... I'm saying there's that avenue, but that isn't really the easiest avenue to get through for the most part. So it might be perfectly reasonable and... This is the norm for subdivision regulations? I don't know. Well, I have to rely on Logan's expertise.
That's something that I can get. When we get done tonight, I'll email him off a copy.
Okay.
Just a question on what questions we have so far.
I'm going to ask one more question. We're dealing with the formatting of this because I'm getting a little bit lost. Because I'm only seeing comments from Logan on this.
Right.
I am too. Do you have other comments that
that's
you
what
have
you're talking about comments
copy?
That you put in?
I gave Logan comments. Joe gave Logan comments.
I've got
there's
GT.
And then we sent them to Logan, and Logan answered the comments.
Okay. I only have Logan comments here.
Yeah, I only have that copy. That's the one that I had.
Maybe what happened is
he answered them, I guess, is what?
Glenn
was saying that they took them away.
Do you have all of them on yours?
What I think happens is when, if you made a comment and then Logan responded, the tag on the comment changes to Logan. So we don't know, like there'll be
You don't know who, and you'd have to have it electronically. They might be in there. You have to put the cursor on it.
Right. You're welcome to copy this if you'd like. Coffee stains. Well,
did we get a copy of this from Logan?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one that I printed out. The only one I knew of was on that email date that he.
Because I'd like to get the one that has all the comments.
I will ask that of Logan as well to send all of us a new copy of this particular.
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't know there was another one out of additional comments.
So yeah, it has all the question.
He did some kind of Google Doc so that the three of us could all work back and forth. So when you saw what someone said, you respond to them, and so
wow,
we played with it quite a bit just to say.
Yeah, I will. So I'll have him send this again.
I'm sorry, I just fell out of the loop.
No, that's fine.
Well, and I'll apologize if we jumped in when we should. We were trying to help the process along, and we said, "Hey, that's great. They got their hands full of downtown and everything else. Well, let's take and."
I think that's great.
So far is the only question we really have for him is about the waiver.
The waiver at this point, yes, mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, unless anybody has anything else. I mean, it is a very confusing, the major minor thing, but at least now I can explain it. I think. At least for the next 5 minutes.
I was going to say, I'll forget it when I get home.
What am I doing here? So the next question, utility provides letters stating the ability to serve the proposed. Now the comments.
We're on
section 3, number 1.
Number 1, and that's F. So these are all things that have
things
to happen.
Things that they have to have before they can.
Okay, all right.
Unless granted. So this would be utility provides, it should say, I would say, provides letters stating the ability to serve.
No, it's the utility provider, like Green Mountain Green Power. Yeah. Power. Or whatever. So, utility provider letters stating the ability to serve.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
What are you saying?
Utility provider letters.
You could say letters from utility providers to make it clearer if you want to change the wording.
But we know what it is.
Well, no, it's got to be clear to everybody. We're unfortunately going to be way too familiar with this by the time we're done. What I would like to do.
Yeah, letters from utility providers. That's
would
much
be clearer.
Easier. Yes, very much clearer.
Yeah. So make that letters from, yeah. Yeah. If my notes were consistent, it would be great. I'm dependent on you guys. Written statements on conformance with Fairhaven Town Plan and compliance with all that. It almost seems like, this is off subject a little bit, but almost seems like one of our tasks after we get this all together and accepted is to put together a packet that you can hand somebody and say, here it is, mm-hmm. Check one, check two, check three. But that's a ways away.
Yeah, I mean that you're talking about if somebody's coming in.
And if somebody's coming in, I mean there are potentials, but mm-hmm. there are nothing that's we have to worry about.
So, and I was thinking about that one of what I'd be looking at in the town plan that would say it isn't in conformance with it.
Right.
I looked through the town plan again and thought to myself, a subdivision's proposed for, this district, is that good as far as our housing section our town plan. So I was trying to think of a case where it would meet or it wouldn't meet, mm-hmm. where that defining line was.
I think town plans in general are developed for defense more than anything else to be able to say, to pick some particular phrase out of the town plan that says, town plan says you can't do that.
Right, right.
And to let you know, when I looked at that the first time and read the town plan, I said, town plan? I said, I get it. But I said, what's Logan putting here? And I'm saying, he must be talking about the town's zoning plan. Because I'd be more concerned when we were going through doing the subdivision thing, it was the zoning bylaws that you just approved that I wanted to be looking at. Yeah. And to say, they said this right here. Are we going against something we shouldn't be going against? Right. Are we doing, that's it. So I didn't know if, and I don't want to assume anything. One of the questions I'd ask Logan is, were you referring to in that comment the town plan or the town's zoning plan?
The state takes a lot
because
of...
Because it kept looking like it,
I'll ask other questions.
Should be town plan, because the zoning would be your nuts and bolts.
Right.
This is right. Saying what's allowed where and what district, but your town plan, if it said we want to encourage residential development in the rural zoning district, in the residential zoning district, so that if someone proposed putting something in an industrial district, you know, that wasn't what the town was looking for in their long-term plan, I think that's what it's referring to.
And the, one of the things in the town plan this time was the state was really, they leaned heavily that we promoted housing.
Yeah, promoting housing, promoting businesses, and so all, everything that this would
do. Yeah, but housing in general, because there's such a housing shortage.
Right? Mm-hmm. Jinx.
So it should say in the town plan someplace, and I bet you I can find it, that it says we want to have a lot of houses.
Well, that was just in my mind, reading this over, is what was an example of something that wouldn't be in conformance with the town plan. I was going to ask Logan that if he was.
I will ask him, and I will. I'll see if I can find it in here.
Okay.
And I'll, or you can. I don't mean to.
No. Please do. It's hard for me to take the time to. Try and contact him. And
I'm a.
Wow.
I'm unemployed. Really, and it's way early for golf.
This really does require them to produce a lot of documentation.
I was thinking to myself about my own checklist, trying to make sure all of this stuff was covered.
The good thing about that, though, is it's there.
Right.
And it's you can't say to somebody, oh, you forgot to do this, and they'll say, well, I did everything that was on the line. What you know? So I think it's handy. It may be heavy duty. It may be a lot of legwork, but once it's done, it's boom. You know, and it should cover the town.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna know that we have we're gonna have an extra road or two roads or, you know, all those things that we have to approve.
And if it is too large a proposal that the planning commissioner or myself does not feel we have the expertise to look it over and make sure everything is good, it's written in that we can hire an engineering company or someone to come in and review it and do that footwork if we need it to.
And it's on the developer's paycheck.
To pay for that.
They have to do that. They have to pay for that. If we decide that. That
was a relief to me if it was something really big and complicated that you could have maybe someone with a better handle of everything to look it over if needed.
That's good.
Let's go down to number two, unless anybody has anything else on that particular section three, number one.
I just feel sorry for somebody who wants to.
Well, you know what? They've got... Somebody that's a major developer has somebody that's
that
their
does
job.
That, yeah.
And so for them, it's a Logan.
Yep.
It's a Logan, and he/she goes through that and says, "I got page two all done, and page three all done, and it's done." But it's, you know, that's what I like about it. So all major subdivision applicants shall submit to the zoning administrator information section three and the following. So traffic impact analysis, fiscal impact analysis, visual impact analysis, erosion and sediment control. I think those are all grading plans showing proposed areas of cut and fill. I think all of that is going to be great information for us to make decisions with. I really do. I mean, it's there. You can, and if you need somebody to translate something, and you know, some of those things are as detailed as you need them to be, or they're not as, you know. I mean, visual impact assessment, that's very arbitrary, and you know, that's, you say, okay, put a tree there, or put a couple of shrubberies there, like they did at Stewart's, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, erosion sediment control, that might be where the engineer comes in. Okay, and just stop me if I'm going too fast or if there's a comment that you wanted to make sure you highlight it, please do. Because I don't want to be surprised afterwards because my reading comprehension is already
the biggest page for me was on the end was the last page or two.
Yeah.
And if there's something on there that we don't have, please, as a comment, please let us know as you're going through.
So section four, in section three, the last in H, there's a comment, a letter from the supervisor. That's another one that bugs me later down the road.
Why?
The supervisory union has input about that it would be too difficult for them to accommodate
more children.
More children. You know?
As the number of students are going down, yeah, all kinds of room in the school, but it should be an easy letter for them to write.
Well, it should be, but it also seems like more veto power than they should have. You know, but that's later down. This one is less onerous. It says a letter from the supervisory union, police department, fire department documents sufficient existing and planned capacity to accommodate. I mean, there's another section that's even more. But so that's the question is. Did somebody mention it? I'm just looking at the comments here and I'm not seeing anything that jumped out at me, so I'm going to move on. Go ahead.
Excuse me, just so you know, the zoning board for conditional use, they look at, they're asking for those things as well.
Yeah, and they put it in there. And either we or you can say it's a conditional use at some point in here. I see that?
No. Did I miss something there?
I thought I saw that. I thought that's new.
Okay.
Because it's usually just the planning commission. But I thought I saw the zoning. We'll get to it.
When
we get to it, we'll see if we want to do that.
Yep.
Before submission of final application, optional pre-application meetings, which makes perfect sense.
I'm for that. Yeah. Because it gives you an opportunity to catch something and a red flag for the applicant if there's something that the planning commission feels might be an issue.
Yeah, and I'm what I'm doing tonight, and please tell me if it's too much. Where I've got some highlights, I'm just highlighting them out loud, and then if you see anything as you read this again, please bring those concerns to the next meeting.
Okay.
And what we'll do, the next meeting, we'll review what we did this tonight, and then we'll go on from there. So the preliminary plan for the major subdivision shall submit. And I love the shall part. A lot of says a lot of shall.
You shall.
Preliminary plan for planning commission to review prior to submission of a subdivision application. So then a minor subdivision may submit a plan if they choose to, but it's major subdivisions, which I think is absolutely great. And once again, it's a chance to catch things that are problematic before they become the budding law. That's fairly self-explanatory, that they should always know what's going on next to them. I'm moving on to page 5 unless anybody says no.
Actually, I'm just looking at this. With the preliminary plan, okay, it says for a major subdivision, they shall submit a preliminary plan. For a minor subdivision, they may, if they choose. But anyway, just looking at what it says here, within 45 days of receipt of the preliminary plan, the Planning Commission at a properly warned public hearing, a hearing is so formal, right, to the degree possible given the information presented in the preliminary plan, shall provide interpretation and guidance to the applicant relating to conforming with applicable local regulations. So if they do this, then it's gonna be.
It's another pain in the butt for us, but in the long run, it isn't, because
it heads off problems later. Right.
You know, the whole idea with the rehab house, you know, nobody knew about it and didn't know
where it was. The River Street fiasco.
That was something else. Did you see it's on the market again? Like, it's listed for sale, and
It has been for a long time.
But I'm sure that Jeremy must have just.
Yeah, I don't think I don't even think he owned it. I think.
No, he didn't. But I'm saying.
I think he had first right of refusal. Yeah, or something.
But I think he must have got the feeling that
maybe picked up a little dissension. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got the vibe.
That would alleviated a lot of that if we had had this. It would have been a minor subdivision, so he wouldn't have actually had to do it, but. That's the example that I thought of as soon as I heard this. It's like everybody has the opportunity to hear about it and voice their opinions. And the other end of that story is, if he had had to go through any of this subdivision rule,
he would have been
much more prepared.
Yeah. Oh, we came in with answers.
With answers. And so this whole section just made me think of that.
Kevin Hoyt didn't show up last night, did he?
No Kevin Hoyt, no Billowitz.
No!
Get out.
No!
It was actually, go ahead.
No, I just have a question on that. Is that something that has to be done in writing to the applicant? That's a Logan question, I believe.
Which?
Within 45 days, giving their...
Well, we would have to warn it. Within 45 days of receiving a preliminary plan, we would have to have a properly warned public hearing, so he would get that.
Okay.
A developer would get that.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Would expect that. I would think.
Information presented to the affiliate shall provide interpretation and guidance to the applicant relating to conforming with applicable local regulations.
So is that something that
you'd have in writing at? For the time of a public hearing? In other words, would you have to get together as a planning commission and go through things?
Seems like you'd have to get their preliminary plan, and then we'd have to discuss it, and then
what we would have to do
a public hearing, and then they'd
within 45 days. So we can
give more feedback.
We can do it quickly. We just have to do it within 45 days.
We have to do it in 45 days, but the question is, do we have to give them, all we have to do is, that's a question for Logan as well, what happens?
That's what I'm asking, what do you need to supply according to that?
It seems like it's a little less formal, so maybe just a copy of the minutes. That's a question worth asking.
I mean, it says right here, the preliminary plan shall not be formally approved or denied by the planning commission.
Right.
It's not binding,
And my question was really in what is the minimum required of the planning commission to inform the applicant in what guidance?
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern. And, you know, it may just be here's the minutes, here's what everybody talked about. We didn't approve or deny, we just, you know, and if there's anything that really bothers you, then we got a problem.
Right.
And maybe you're writing your first waiver request.
So it looks like I'm just trying to understand the process. So then you have your warned public hearing, you give them the feedback, maybe there's members of the public here who say, hey, and another thing, I don't really like blah, blah, blah about it, and then...
Yep.
So then they have a year to submit their actual application or to submit another preliminary plan.
Just like we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And another public hearing.
Well, the official public hearing, yeah. The one that's written in their decision.
Well, an applicant should be able to adjust to whatever comes from the planning commission or the public if they want to, mm-hmm. from a preliminary hearing. So in other words, someone saying, well, I'd like to see it screened from my property next door, I mean, you know, and an applicant could come back and say, yeah, we'll plant trees along through there, or adjust their plan to reflect the comments that come about in a preliminary hearing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So this next point of C about the abutting landowners, and there's this comment here, you may consider requiring abutting landowners to be notified. I mean, just looking at how people do get up in arms about things when they haven't heard about it.
I think that we should require it.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, that, it seems like that's... Yeah. So they... Let's see, all applicants... are encouraged to notify abutting landowners.
No, all applicants for subdivision review shall.
Shall, yes.
Not our shall notify abutting landowners and other potentially interested persons prior to.
I don't think that's a bad thing to require, really. Yeah. You're right. That way someone isn't taken by surprise, missing a hearing date that was important to them.
Yep. I think that's legit.
I will not accept.
Yep. That's...
Here's the rest of the Planning Commission waiver thing.
Well, and this says one or more in that line.
Oh, yeah.
So, didn't the first part say just one? Or am I thinking wrong?
No, it's the same. It's the same thing. Sure. Oh, shall.
So, hang on. Are you talking about in section 3 where it says waiver request in writing, if any, that identifies the specific requirements or standards for which the waiver is requested? So it's a standard requirements or standards.
Where did I get just one in my mind?
Well, from the first, it does say something like that. Let's go back.
No, well, I'm looking at it right now. It's section 3, right? Application requirements.
It may be that you asked one waiver, but maybe it has... Oh.
One waiver is in section 4.2a.
Yeah, that's where we are.
4.2a. Section
waiver,
4.2a.
Waiver request in writing identifies the specific requirements or standards for which the waiver is requested and sufficient information justifies the waiver. So the waiver may have more parts.
It may be more than one waiver.
More than one.
Could ask for.
You can waive for different sections. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense.
I'm
that
just
makes
confused
sense.
With someone thinking there was just one waiver allowed for some reason.
And so that becomes a very interesting, an interesting negotiation.
Well, it gives more flexibility if you like a project, I guess, enough to want to see it through for them and try and give a little to get it done.
We can give you this, we can give you that, but we can't. You know, we're hard and fast on this.
200 job expansion.
Yeah.
And they're saying, what do you got for me?
Come on down.
So this is just a technical point that when somebody wants to do something that isn't in conformity with the zoning bylaws, they have to seek a variance that goes to the Zoning Board of Adjustment. So in this case, what's the difference here?
Well, in this case, it's going to the Planning Commission to see whether they will allow that waiver of a requirement.
So this is giving the Planning Commission the authority to, be able to
allow
some of the requirements. So it's kind of...
But understand the zoning...
Leaving the zoning board out of it.
Right. The zoning board is required to follow state law for granting a variance. So there are set questions by state law for any variance in any town or city in Vermont that have to be answered so that the zoning board can grant a variance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different beast than a subdivision waiver request.
Okay.
And the Zoning Board of Adjustment would come into play on almost every other thing in this except the subdivision.
Okay.
And
so we're just saying that in this case, if you want to do something that's contrary to the regs, it'll just be the Planning Commission.
Right. And I don't know the legalities of what if you all denied someone's application. Do they appeal to the zoning board? Do they go to the environmental court?
Maybe so.
I don't know. You know, that's a mystery to me.
Question for Logan.
Well, you know, yes. I'm saying I don't know what the process is. If there was something that was a sticking point that the Planning Commission said, oh no, we're not going to grant a waiver, or oh no, you don't meet something, and they disagreed with it, do they have an avenue to appeal the subdivision request? I mean, most everything else does.
That has some kind of appeal.
Yeah. Well, I would bet the environmental court, but it may be ZBA first, then environmental court.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's, since this that's is, what you do with zoning regs, and this is going to be in our zoning regs.
Yep.
It's just fine tunes before you have to go through all that.
Yeah, you have a certain appeal period from either step, the zoning administrator's action or a planning commission site plan review. You have 30 days after their written decision, and the zoning board the same way to appeal it to the next level. So I'm just curious on this too, what's the process?
Yep, well, that's a question.
That's a Logan question.
That's a Logan. He's getting a lot tomorrow. I'll get this done before I go on my 7 o'clock walk on the golf course. That's when I do my best work, sometime around 7 to sometime around 10.
Where do you golf?
In the bylaws, section 4, what is this, 2E.
Where are you looking?
Right to appeal, page 5.
Oh, okay.
The applicant has the right to appeal the action or non-action of the zoning administrator in accordance with 24 VSA chapter 117 and these bylaws.
Do you have the regs handy that I just gave you? Or wait,
no. Oh, this is regs Bob has.
This would be the, but this is, but this is Vermont State, so I don't know if it would be in, is it in there?
Well, there's a process in our zoning for appeal of the zoning.
Does it say the same chapter?
Which is it?
24 VSA chapter 117.
That's Vermont State law, but let's see what quick.
But it seems like it would.
Well, there has to be some.
Oh, appeal, way to appeal. Yeah.
Right of appeal, the action or non-action of the zoning administrator. It doesn't say that. Doesn't say the PC.
No, that would be if it was an administrative permit to be issued for a subdivision and the zoning administrator said no and denied it, then there should be a way to appeal his decision. Let's see, 58.
Thank you, Jen. Quick look. That is, when I do ask these questions, at least it'll look like I read it.
4465, is that what you quoted?
Oh, hold on one more time. Approval. What am I looking for? Right to appeal. VSA chapter 117. 24 VSA chapter 117.
Okay.
It's all coming.
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make something new. They just follow. That would be common sense.
I'm just looking at the references here to state law.
See if they say the same one.
A lot of this, to me, seems like it's
4470?
Making life easier for the next step up.
I think so.
If they give me a little relief on Act 250, I'll dance that dance. But, you know, just tell me you're doing it. Don't make me guess.
Application submission.
Or with their legislation that there's tier 1, tier 2, it's so new they haven't even got there yet, and they didn't address it.
Because I don't see a matching
numbers.
And we'll have to have it when they get
there. There's the section on appeals.
Oh, it does not.
Nope. So I'd have to actually look at that state law, see which one they were quoting.
What they're referencing, right?
Yeah. If you look at it, fine. I'm going to ask that.
Okay.
You're going to have Logan check into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's put it in English. But you quoted the statute. But what's it mean?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Interpret. It says the zoning administrator, but the PC has a lot of power more power than normal.
Oh yeah, with
this, and I think it makes sense that way. Then if there, but there has to be an appeal process, so that makes sense as well.
And you've got limitations on your time of processing things as well.
Yep.
You've got more time actually. You've got 60 days. The zoning board has 45 days to make a decision, so. Actually, there's a longer time for the Planning Commission to be able to do a decision.
And I know some of our questions for Logan, when you put those timing in there,
yep.
is to say, okay, it may have been the document you were looking at, but that's not how it has to be.
Yeah, it's
what works best for you as a zoning administrator right. and you as a planning
Is this a reasonable time given?
Well, that was one of my questions.
And that was 30 days.
Yeah, on the 30 days.
Is that a reasonable time? Or should
you understand that I'm a part-time zoning administrator,
yeah.
so I'm not... You know, 5 days a week, I'm 2 days a week and stop in other days to see if I have something that I need to help somebody with. So,
yeah, so 30 days gives you really, it gives you six working days.
Right.
You know, so that's
so
little,
should we do 45
so,
yeah, or 60?
Maybe we kick it up to 45.
Maybe increase it a little bit. Again, if you had a full-time person,
right.
then that might be reasonable.
Is 45 days reasonable?
Well, 30 days is reasonable, what I have right now, to do a zoning permit application.
Mm-hmm.
I'm required to make sure that it's acted on within that amount of time. If something's incomplete, that voids that time period. So if I get an application that they haven't completed something I need to double check with the zoning regs, then I can deny it pending submission of what's necessary to make the application complete. So, but otherwise, I can't let somebody go longer than 30 days without taking action on it. Let
right.
me put it that way.
So either. if we kicked it up to 45, that would give you a little wiggle room.
It would be helpful for the part-time position if we had a lot of things on the checklist that need to be gone through
right.
and make sure...
Because some of these applications, like you can, it'd be a lot to go over.
Yeah, yeah. For me, you know, different than just the regs. Yeah.
Yeah.
To make sure the checklist was complete for an application to be considered complete.
And
you know, to go on to you all, especially a big major application.
It's like everything else. I mean, we lived for a very long time with just a part-time. Activities person.
Right. A recreation director.
It's not, we're not that far away from having a full-time zoning administrator.
It could be that way, yeah.
Once again, it's Montpelier writing laws for the comfort of Chittenden County. Places that can afford full-time.
Yeah.
Employees and full-time this and full-time that. And like I said to Logan the other night, we can't afford to have somebody here full-time to be our grant administrator. And, you know, we just can't afford it. And we, right now, that's why we don't get as many grants as we should be able to. It's because we can't afford, nor can we lay any more on a guy we hired.
Yeah.
For 40 weeks of without even including grants on
you know,
40-hour weeks.
Chad, maybe this is going way off, but Chad had suggested that, you know, if there was somebody else in the office, like if Joe had even a part-time assistant,
well,
it would really help him a lot. You know?
We've talked about that. We talked about that a lot, and
it's
just that when you get, you know, when you pass by 3 votes, you stop.
I think for tax wise and everything else, somehow we have to do some kind of, I think, Castleton, Pulteney, Fairhaven, some group people, and maybe that's more than one, but it's everyone paying the same little bit that you can cover.
The problem with something like that is you immediately get in competition with each other.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's the regional approach, yes. But I don't know how to keep costs.
I don't know either. All right, let's move on. We've already got to page 5.
Good.
Just looking at this, so it does say, you know, what they can do to appeal, the right to appeal.
On page 5.
On page 5 for the action or non-action of the zoning administrator. But I was looking where it says, when it goes to the planning commission, and then the planning commission needs to make a decision. It really doesn't. It doesn't say anything about the right to that I can see to the right to appeal the decision of the planning commission.
And I think there's got to be an avenue for someone to appeal anything. It you wouldn't have something that was just dead that you couldn't question at all.
Yeah.
Right.
After a decision, it just
right,
doesn't make any sense.
Once again, that gets you into some serious politics.
Did they cover it later in the?
Oh, it may. Yeah. It may.
The way the waiver was covered twice and everything, I'm just saying,
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't remember anything.
I don't remember seeing it covered. No.
But it's a question worth asking is, you know, how that appeal process goes.
And can I jump in with one other question before
sure.
you move on? On D of page 5, it says within 7 days of documenting that a major subdivision application is a complete application, the zoning administrator shall submit the major subdivision application to the planning commission. So what does that mean for me with the planning commission? Does that mean that I call the chair and say, I've got a complete application here for you, and then you all work on scheduling?
You hand us a stack of papers that I would expect was put together by the developer.
Right, right.
And that you have said that it's complete in that it has all the requirements, not that it's right, wrong, or
right,
different.
Right, right. But I'm saying if I get it, I don't wait for another regular planning commission meeting. I've got to hand it over to you within 7 days of having that complete packet, if I understand that right.
Yeah, I would think, and probably the best way to go about that without mandating a special meeting, what would be the best way? I was thinking if it was publicly, if there was an email or something, an email is public, and
right.
you say that we have.
So if I emailed the chair and said I have a completed application ready for the planning commission to review, that should be sufficient. To document it?
It would be free, but old Logan's getting another question.
Okay, again, I'm just concerned
about that.
And my,
how you follow.
I have a question, too. C, administrative approval of a minor subdivision within 75 days of determining a minor subdivision. Mm-hmm. I mean, 75 days, it seems like an awful lot. For a minor
I don't think it would ever happen, but dang, I don't mind having more time.
I felt like you got to just.
I mean, I can't see a minor subdivision
taking that long. That's why.
But it's all on you,
right?
So maybe that's why they gave you that
more
kind
time.
Of time,
right? To get them to make sure
because
everything is
there. Because
they don't
know what the workload is.
That's what it says. How long
right.
does your zoning administrator need to make a decision on a minor subdivision?
Right.
Well, there may be some technicalities.
Or you can use a reasonable time.
There may be. It's all new to me, so I don't know.
It would be 10 acres that are subdivided in 4 or less lots.
Right.
Well,
how are those lots configured? There's some work.
So here's a thought. The comment here that Logan made, he said, alternatively,
you could use
a reasonable time. And then that gives you
just
wiggle room you need. Right?
But I mean, does that mean pick a reasonable amount of days, do you think? Or insert language?
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah, because he's got that in quotes.
The only thing I just...
So they're looking, and an applicant is looking about the time frame of having something happen for them.
75 days is a building season. So, so, but a reasonable time could be 2 building seasons, or it could be 3 days.
Yeah, and I don't think
a developer wants an unknown of what's my time frame with getting this done and through and getting going on my project.
So if you keep it at a specific time, maybe you knock it down to 60 or something like that. It's specific, and you have a deadline, and
they don't have
a deadline. They can say, well, we submitted it, it was received on X day, so this day I should have it.
Yeah. It's always better to have more time, because you get in trouble when you don't.
Exactly. Yeah, so should we make that 60 days?
And that might be one of the, at the information meeting, someone comes back and says, can't live with it. Whatever.
Right.
Deal with it then, would be my advice.
So, Phil, what do you think is a reasonable time?
I do not know, because I, again, I going through the checklist of stuff, I try and process the zoning permits the same week they come in and make the turnaround right away for an applicant. And also schedule, you know, if somebody needs to go to the zoning board or the planning commission for approval, work to get them right away to see you all, either one, but...
But say this, they're talking about an administrative approval for minor subdivision. So the thing is,
if it's not complicated, I would hope it wouldn't take me, you know, 2 weeks to do it.
Let's think it through. Someone comes in, you come in Thursday morning, you see that there's an application for a subdivision. The first thing you've got to do is spend at least a little time deciding whether it's major or minor.
Right.
So maybe that's the first week.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the first 2 days.
When it comes in and review it.
Then the next week, you're working as a, you say it's a minor division.
And so I'm working to go through the
checklist. You've got to go through the paperwork that refers to that. So there's another 2 days.
Right.
So now we're in 14 days. So maybe the longer time is exactly for that reason.
It might be good because, again, understanding that I never know on my days in office whether I'm going to have two people come in and question me about a project and what they want to do, and
that's
then
the
four phone calls that I'm returning.
Yep.
So I can be straight out one day.
You may have to be the chicken police one day, right? You know, stuff like that too.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we leave it at the higher.
Maybe that might be good. I mean, if Logan says, well, this is the way most of them do, even the small towns with part-time zoning people, then.
Well, you know, it's my fervent hope that you're swamped.
Well, you know, my fear is, you know, this is a whole brand new bunch of stuff to make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's with.
And in the meantime, you're going to have some smaller ones.
Yeah.
You're going to have the porches and the garages and all that kind of stuff that you've got to spend several hours on to go out and visit. Yeah. Maybe we should keep it high and everybody knows you've got that much time.
Yep.
And it's not a reasonable amount of time, it's 75 days.
And I mean, that should count for something, though, the part-time nature and not a full-time administrator, I would
say. Nobody says you don't
have to
do it.
Nobody says I take 75 days on it either. I mean, if it's cut and dry, hopefully it would be zip, zip, here you go.
Yep.
But maybe the longer time period isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
At least it's a number.
That everybody should be able to live with, you know, hopefully, a developer as well.
So just fun fact, Art and I were requesting some documents from the U.S. Citizenship Office, federal agency, for something that he wants to do, something, you know, like he needs to look at his grandmother's naturalization records. So an index search is what you have to do first, then you have to do a record search. When I first put it in, like 6 weeks ago, the average turnaround time for an index search was 30 days, and then for a record search was 30 days. Now, with all the federal cuts, index search is 191 business days, and record search is 300 business days. Could you imagine? So. In 2 months, we're going to have in 2.5 years. So, a reasonable time.
Reasonable. To, you know,
yeah, but
somebody,
just kill me.
No.
So anyways, the planning commission has 30 days to schedule a public hearing. Which is, you know, just, that's a number three in planning commission responsibility. Public hearing is noted in case of a plat located within 500 feet of the municipal boundary. Copy of the notice shall be sent to the clerk of the adjacent town. And then we have 60 days to approve after the public hearing. So in that 30 days that we announce a public hearing, it doesn't say it has to be with, you know, how does that work? So we have to have a public hearing in 30 days.
So when I call you and tell you, or email you and say, I've got a complete application, right, does the clock start running from there?
It sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we really have to go through it. We will literally have one meeting unless we schedule a special meeting to get that particular, and that's a major.
So should we possibly make this like within 40 days? Like, do we have that kind of wiggle room, or is that?
It's got a lot of the required notice public. It's got state law, in, at least with the notice. Yeah, with the notice. So we don't, doesn't look like we have that wiggle room. Is that what that's a public hearing of subdivision shall require a public notice, shall require a noticed public hearing in accordance with 24 VSA chapter 117 in case of a plat located within a 500 feet of a municipal boundary. Copy that, yeah, goes to the other towns. So we gotta be ready and prepared for a public meeting, public hearing, in 30 days of receipt of your notice.
Right.
So we have.
And it has to be warned.
It has to be warned in a local publication, if I'm correct with what they're quoting.
Yeah.
Has to be put in three public places in the town noticed.
So when we receive it from Phil, we'd have to warn a public hearing immediately.
Almost
for our...
and we would that's tight.
Well, let me ask you this too: is it a 15-day time period before a schedule that it has to be noticed before a hearing for a subdivision? You know, in other things, it's a 15-day notice for a zoning board hearing. And for a planning commission site plan review hearing, you have to have that by state law, 15 days. Is it the same requirement for?
I don't know.
I bet it's that 24.
What say you,
Logan? I bet it's in that 24 VSA, whatever. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go read that.
It'll be in there.
But that's what authorizes all the local zoning abilities of the town, is that chapter in state law. But that's just a question. So is it the same deal for this with a noticing a preliminary plan hearing on a...
So I wonder, too, how much time we have in between. For instance, you get all the documentation and everything. We've already had a preliminary, which means that we're well aware of what we got, what the problems are. So we should have that dialed down before you get a final.
Okay, well, clarify something for me. So that preliminary plan, is that a warned? That's a warned hearing as well.
Yes.
So they have to have those elements together before they come to you for a preliminary plan hearing.
Yeah, so that takes a little bit of the onus off it, because we already are well aware of what are the hiccups. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's little. I didn't think of that at first.
But again, the notice requirements on that preliminary public hearing.
Yeah.
Is that the same? Like, you got to have 15 days, full days of the notice of the hearing.
So here's just a thought. Like, because you know, you have a little flexibility of when you say, this is a completed application.
Right.
So you could plan it to pass it on to the planning commission at a time that it would be, you know, like to make it so that you have plenty of time to warn it.
Yeah.
And make sure, you know, like coordinate so that it's.
Right. But I've got a time limitation on taking action on it, though. That's the only thing. I can't. I got a little wiggle room there, but I've only got so much to that I can do by statute.
So I just wonder if we can ask, like, could we ask Logan if this, within 30 days of receipt of a complete major subdivision application, the Plan Commission shall schedule a public hearing?
Right.
Like, does it have to be within 30 days, or could it be within 45 days?
Well, I think we have to notice it within 30 days.
Well, do we?
So, yes, it does say that.
The Planning Commission shall schedule a public hearing within 30 days.
Yes, within 30 days of receipt of the complete major. So within 7 days after Phil's gotten.
Well, hang on. It says that it has to be warned in accordance with the Act, but does it have to be scheduled within 30 days in accordance with the Act? I don't know. This in accordance with the Act refers to it being a warned meeting. I don't know that the 30 days.
Within 30 days, we shall schedule. That doesn't mean we're going to do it in that 30 days, but we have to set a schedule by the 30th day.
Okay, I got you.
Does that make
sense?
Yes. Right. That's the way I read that.
Okay.
So we're out, and if it's 15 days from that, there's the 45.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the question to ask. Plus, it's a little more relieving knowing we have the preliminary and we are well aware of what pitfalls we saw earlier,
right.
And they should be corrected in the final.
Yep.
And it is 8:29. This is a good time to quit.
You got through 5 pages?
We got through 5 pages.
Hey, that's 5
we
more.
We did.
Pages.
So at this time frame, we've got 2 more meetings to get through our next meeting is April 2nd.
April 16th, should be...
By the 15th of April, by tax day, 16th, we should have gone through this and have... We should be ready, except for whatever questions we have that day, we should be ready to approve that.
Thank you.
And then we've got the historical one already approved.
Right.
And then we can go to our... We can get a final copy of that. We should be, by sometime in May or by the end of May, we should be done with the subdivision and the historical.
Downtown,
I know you met your deadline here, but just is your time, just a question for you about downtown designation. If we as an economic development and downtown partnership group meet in April, and get some agreement on the bylaw changes and that certificate that's signed, it's the agreement. We'll call it the agreement for now, the reinvestment agreement. The game plan would be the meeting with the Gary and Logan meeting would be the first Tuesday in May, which is the 6th. Does that work for you?
Absolutely.
Folks?
I just
wanted to make sure we weren't.
We're looking at that's great, and then we've got all of May, June, July, and August to finalize all the other stuff.
What might help, and again, I don't mind helping with. I've started playing with the bylaw thing with the information that Logan sent.
Right.
Move some stuff over. Put it looked like an easy plug and play.
Yeah.
And. I think if the invitation is just that as we invite them to the 6th, we can have them possibly send that to Gary to even look at
so
that if there's question, he's not coming in cold for the first time, coming in with actual comments.
We could have a lot more useful conversation with him if we have, like, I feel like, you know, they're giving us the template from Hardwick and they're saying, you know, here's what we want. So if we use the template and do our best to come up with the documents that they're asking for, he'll be a lot happier and
most of it already existed. Yeah. Format was a little bit different. I don't care what the format is. You can make it any way you want. But it looked the same. The stumbling block looked like it's going to be two items, just so you're aware. The one that they give an example was having that group be a 501c3.
I think that might be
a showstopper, but it's a good one to find out from Gary and Logan if that's a showstopper.
I thought that was 501, and I'll look. I think it's because of putting the investment plan together.
Hang on. It says pretty clearly
Logan is working on the procedures. So what I'm saying is, we don't want to go too far. Logan said we could have a municipal commission, but if we do it that way,
we have to have a broad range of stakeholders. So I was looking at the Hardwick example that they have a board and then they have partners. And so the way they described the roles of those members, if we have the Economic Development Committee and Downtown Partnership, the Economic Development Committee would kind of be, would correspond to the board in the Hardwick bylaws. And then the partners, you would, just like this guideline says, you have business owners, property owners, and representatives from downtown organizations. Because the whole purpose is to show the state that we have a lot of people that are committed to revitalizing the downtown, right?
Just talking in the bylaws, putting that partnership, because they're looking for another set of officers, in the example.
Yeah.
Another set of president, officers, and budget.
Yeah, we don't
need and we just want to make sure Gary, when he comes in, I just want to make sure I'm going down the road you guys want us to go down.
My
Gary goes in to say, Gary, now understand, my understanding is you're flexible and your flexibility.
Yeah.
We're going to have great, because I believe we're going to have great partnership with business owners and stuff down there, signing off on that agreement. And they'll have good involvement, and we'll meet the annual meeting stuff. But the areas where we really need the clarification, 501c3, and electing a whole nother group of officers and stuff.
But hang on. We don't need to get caught up in the 501c3. It was a possible type of organization. We're a municipal commission, so we don't need to worry
about
it.
It was like a choice of types of organizations.
Yeah.
As long as we don't, we chose I think it's one or the other. Understand why myself included on the committee.
I'm not there that we're the group. If those things are in place and they're not flexible.
So what Logan was saying was that you can have a municipal commission, but if you do, just having a little group of town officers isn't enough. You need to bring in other people.
Which we're in the process of doing, haven't done it.
Right.
In the process
so,
of doing.
So the thing is,
we've got.
Hang on, please. What I'm thinking is, because I was really looking at the Hardwick application in detail and looking at what the requirements are in the application packet, I think it doesn't have to be that difficult. Because just like you said, with the 5-year plan, the town's plan, there's a lot already there. When you look at the Hardwick application, their strategic 5-year plan is, when they have their specific goals, long-term, mid-term, short-term, some of them are a little bit fuzzy. You know, they're not that specific, and so there are things that we can pull from the town plan and put it in a nice format. The main thing that he said we need to have is the organization has to have the variety of types of members, and you have to have, for the strategic five-year plan, you have to have those goals, and you have to say how you're going to fund them. So we've got the USDA revolving loan fund, you've got the EDC's budget, you just need other...
Understand everything you're talking about there. It's, as a matter of fact, the example they gave is very generic. I think our town plan and responsibilities in the bylaws is even more in depth than what they put together.
Right.
And the partners, my God, they came up with Joe Schmo, Sally Jane, and this one here. I mean, you have pretty much a select board member, and they went, it made me feel better when I saw the generic.
Right.
Again, I'm only places that I'm in reading through the whole document that there might be a couple gremlins. I'm just giving you a heads up that if we'll know after May 6th.
Yeah. One thing I want to... There was an email I saw today, and I will research it again. He still thinks he's coming in April, so I will.
Right, I need to uninvite him. I will not embarrass myself or him with the organized chaos that we're working on.
I sent a reply all because he said in his Logan said in his email that he was going to invite Gary to come for the April EDC meeting, and so I replied and I said, hey, at the EDC meeting we discussed it, and I think we wanted to put it off until May just to give us more time. Yeah.
We'll be one well-informed voice when we meet with them, but I'd rather that we are and everyone works from there.
Okay. Yeah. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you enjoy the show?
Right up until Mr.
Booth.
No.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Wait a minute, 5 minutes for public comment.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn. Adjourn.
There's a second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Can I email you out a copy when I make a first pass, and it's a working document.
But did you know that Joe was working on the bylaws too?
Is it? Well, I didn't know he was, but that usually happens. And I haven't talked
next
to him.
Time you when guys I do, will have
I'll put him on the loop as well.
Yeah, because he was
I thought everybody had that.
This is the application for the downtown designation. So you have to have your description of current organization structure. It could be this or that municipal commission. And then, as Deb was saying, that Logan Solomon explained that the municipal commission works. They encourage separate entities.
Hey, I've been chasing grandchildren around for 3 days. I'm whipped.
I hear you. I just,
6 and 4.
The example from Heartland.
But he was just showing us that he's been deposed. I wondered if maybe we could get the application. I would love to know. I've been trying.
I've been trying.
Gosh, stop this thing.
So far, I've only been trying.